Our next speaker is Caitlin Congreves, and the title of her presentation is Post-Harvest Organic Carbon Amendments to Minimize Mineral Nitrogen Losses in Coal Crop Production.
I'm Caitlin Congreves. I'm a PhD candidate with the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. I'm thrilled to be here today. This is my first trip to Texas, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. Today I'll be presenting my research, and the title has already been announced by Jeff. Thank you. My supervisor is Dr. Laura Van Aert. My committee members include Dr. Paul Veroni and Dr. Ivan O'Halloran. Now, coal crops are brassica vegetables such as cabbage, cauliflower, and broccoli. And these crops pose a significant risk for nitrogen loss during the post-harvest period because substantial amounts of crop residue, which are rich in nitrogen, are typically left in the field after harvest. This point is illustrated by my comparison photos in broccoli production here. After broccoli harvest, anywhere from 100 to 330 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare may remain in the field. I would just like to stop and remind you that I am in Ontario, Canada, where the climate is a bit cooler and we don't have as long of a growing season as the sunny southern regions. So we do have a large risk for nitrogen losses during the fall, winter, and early spring. And considering that the underlying principle regarding the risk of nitrogen loss is mineral nitrogen availability equals vulnerability for loss, research should focus on reducing soil mineral nitrogen concentrations after broccoli harvest. Now, one method of reducing nitrogen loss is the application of organic carbon material to immobilize nitrogen. Previous studies have reduced soil mineral nitrogen with the application Previous studies have reduced soil mineral nitrogen, which is derived from indigenous soil nitrogen or fertilizer nitrogen, with the application of wheat straw, yard waste, and used cooking oil. However, the application of organic carbon material to immobilize nitrogen, which is derived from crop residue, is more complex, and this is because of the timing and the rate of crop residue nitrogen mineralization relative to that of the organic carbon decomposition. I did conduct a controlled incubation study in the lab where I addressed the decomposition of these three organic carbon materials concurrently with broccoli crop residue, and the results indicate that broccoli crop residue-derived nitrogen may become immobilized with each wheat straw, yard waste, and used cooking oil. However, field investigations are required. So the objectives of the present study were to assess the effects of organic carbon amendments on post-harvest soil mineral nitrogen concentrations, but also the impact on subsequent spring wheat. The experiment was conducted in a repeated two-year field study, 2009 to 2010, and again 2010 to 2011. The experimental design was a randomized complete block with four replications. At pre-plant, 342 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were hand-broadcast in the form of urea just prior to incorporation and mechanical transplanting of broccoli. Typical field operations were followed throughout the broccoli crop growing season and also at harvest. Now, the study effects were established after harvest, the main effect being the organic carbon amendments on soil mineral nitrogen throughout the fall, and the secondary effect were both early and late broccoli production systems. The treatments included a positive control, being the incorporation of broccoli crop residue, but also a negative control, being the removal of the broccoli crop residue, and three organic carbon amendments, yard waste, wheat straw, and used cooking oil. First, broccoli crop residue was mechanically mulched. The crop residue removal treatment entailed hand removing all the above ground biomass from the plots, and the organic carbon amendment treatments were established by hand applying uniformly the wheat straw, yard waste, and used cooking oil to the plots with mulched broccoli crop residue. Shortly after, all the plots were disked for incorporation. Throughout the fall, soil was sampled to the depths of 0 to 30 and 30 to 60 centimeters. The soil samples were analyzed for nitrate nitrogen and as well as ammonium nitrogen. Today, I will be presenting data on the 0 to 30 centimeter soil depth for nitrate nitrogen. So taking a look at the fall soil nitrate results, the treatment response was similar in each year and in each system. However, there was a significant year-by-system interaction, so I will be presenting the data separately for each late and early and 2009-2010 in the following slides. So here, the early post-harvest soil nitrate concentrations in the top 30 centimeters presented in two graphs, 2009 and 2010. The x-axis, we have time. On the y-axis, the nitrate concentration. The data points represent soil sampling days, and the black line is the broccoli crop residue incorporated control to which all treatments are contrasted against. Now, relative to this control, nitrate concentrations were significantly reduced by removing the broccoli crop residue. Now, this indicates that the above ground biomass mineralized an average of 40 and 98 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in each year, respectively. Now, the application of wheat straw significantly reduced nitrate concentrations in both years with a difference of 52 and 61 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in each year, respectively. However, when the wheat straw was applied as an organic carbon amendment, it actually set seed and grew into a cover crop both years. So the reduction in nitrate here may be a reflection of, yes, the organic carbon influencing microbial nitrogen immobilization, but it also may be a reflection of the cover crop taking up nitrate from the soil. Next, yard waste significantly reduced nitrate concentrations relative to the control by 72 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in 2010, yet not at all in 2009. And this discrepancy is likely a reflection of the variability of yard waste composition. So the 2009 yard waste did have a slightly higher C-10 ratio than that of 2010. However, the 2009 yard waste was composed of notably larger particle sizes. So it is possible that decomposition of the yard waste in 2009 took longer and was less likely to influence immobilization in the first 3 months after harvest. Now, used cooking oil statistically reduced nitrate concentrations relative to the control by 64 and 77 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in both years, respectively. And taking a look at the late post-harvest nitrate concentrations in the top 30 centimeters, nitrate was reduced relative to control significantly by only one treatment, that being used cooking oil, with a difference of 65 and 59 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So the study provides evidence that organic carbon amendments can reduce soil nitrate concentrations during the post-harvest period, which may translate into reduced nitrogen losses. Used cooking oil appeared to be the most effective form of organic carbon because it did reduce soil nitrate concentrations in both years and in both systems. This may be a reflection of it being such an easily oxidizable form of carbon, it was more likely to influence microbial nitrogen immobilization. Now, the nitrate results from the fall evoke a question from the production perspective. How do the organic carbon amendments affect the following crop? So, spring wheat was seeded on the same plots in the subsequent growing season both years. The treatments included broccoli residue without spring-applied nitrogen, but also broccoli residue with spring-applied nitrogen at the recommended rate, also the crop removal treatment without spring-applied nitrogen, and each organic carbon amendment, yard waste wheat straw, and used cooking oil without spring-applied nitrogen. Spring wheat grain was collected at harvest in August, and the grain yield and nitrogen content were assessed. Now, the spring wheat data for yield and grain nitrogen content show that the treatment response was similar in each year and in each system without a treatment by system interaction. So the results will be presented for both early and late 2010 to 2011 data combined for each factor separate. Now, the yield and the grain nitrogen content results tell a very similar story. The organic carbon amendments of yard waste, the purple, and used cooking oil, the bright red, were statistically similar to crop residue with spring-applied nitrogen, which is the lighter red. However, wheat straw produced statistically lower yield and grain nitrogen content than the broccoli crop residue with spring-applied nitrogen. Now, this is likely a reflection of the organic carbon amendment on top of a cover crop, but there could also be some wheat-wheat rotation allelopathic results happening there. I'd like to bring your attention to the statistical equivalence of two treatments. Broccoli crop residue without spring-applied nitrogen and broccoli crop residue removed. So this equivalence suggests that there was a lot of nitrogen in the system to begin with. So in conclusion, the study provides evidence that organic carbon amendments can reduce soil nitrogen and potentially reduce soil nitrogen losses during the post-harvest period in coal crop production without negatively impacting subsequent spring wheat yield or grain nitrogen content. Used cooking oil appeared to be the most effective, so it is the most recommended form of organic carbon. I'd like to thank you for your attention today. I'd also like to recognize funding contributions from the Ontario Ministry of Agricultural, Food and Rural Affairs and all others who have contributed along the way. I believe I have time for questions. Yes. I've had that question before, and there is a lot. There's a lot. You get it from restaurants. There's an abundance of it. Right now we're using waste products for the organic carbon amendments as an additional, you know, using the waste products for a better purpose. So wheat straw, yard waste, and used cooking oil. And there is a lot. So. I don't have a specific estimate, but I can tell you that my study, which is using it as 5 metric tons per hectare, is definitely feasible. There's been other studies using it at a rate of 10 tons or metric tons per hectare, and that's also feasible as well. So, yes? It's rich in nitrogen, so, you know, some growers may grow something that, you know, a crop that would, you know, need nitrogen, and they wouldn't have to put fertilizer down on the next year, and having the residue in there would be a benefit. But if you're on a sandy soil, you're going to run into risks of nitrate leaching and denitrification, so... Yes? Yes. It is compared to other studies. Now, I will mention that the OMAFRA recommendations of nitrogen at pre-plant for broccoli is 130 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and I'm applying 340. But that is because in the original recommendation, they've been in OMAFRA, I think, since the beginning of 1990s, and they haven't been updated. And in the literature, you know, if you put these awesome amounts of nitrogen on the soil, you do have a great increase in yield. And the growers know that, so it's not uncommon for growers to put 400, 500 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to grow their broccoli. You're welcome. Yes?
Is it standard practice to chop and then incorporate the residue?
It is. Typical grower practice is to stock chop or mulch and then disc it back into the soil. Yes.
I was wondering what your rainfall is, and if there's any reason to believe that you might miss some inorganic nitrogen if you don't go below 60 centimeters.
I can tell you because in other preliminary studies we have gone 60 to 90, and at harvest that is very, like, there's hardly any inorganic nitrogen at harvest in that level of soil. And we're on predominantly clay loam, so it's, you know, a little more difficult for the nitrogen to get down that low.
Okay, thanks, Kate.
Okay, you're welcome.